Thank you. So the title, good morning, sorry. It's better to say good morning first. Yeah, I'm Selva, and me, you know, most of you know, if you don't know, me and Bharti married, and we've got two children. This is our family, Gateway, I mean. I'm going to share about the donkey's jawbone. Sounds a bit of a... The reason why I choose this title, last week we have lost donkeys, yes. Haven't we?
Yes, but it wasn't about the donkeys.
Yes, yes. Probably it may be similar. It might not be about the donkey's jawbone. But the title was when Sam finished, I asked Sam, what do you want us to put the title on the system, so internet, so that people can listen to it? He said, put the lost donkeys. Yeah. So if you look on the internet, on our website, it's the lost donkeys, then followed by it's a donkey jump.
So I better put it back to lost donkeys.
Oh, okay. That's
no, you didn't.
So, yeah.
What did you change it to?
All things work for good.
Yeah, that's what the, my...
Oh,
My, yeah, that was, I was going to do it, but I just double checked him. So, do you want me to add the title, All Things Work Out For Good, you know? So he
said lost donkeys.
Yeah.
Sam said that.
Yeah, this came from them, the lost donkeys. So if you look at that, the next one, the donkey's jawbone. But it is not really, really unrelated. It is somehow related. Let's have a look. So the poor thing is, the most of the children in the Christian children, or the otherwise I can say, the one figure in the Old Testament being told of by many times by the children, I believe is Samson. So when we come through his history about Samson, look at the kids. You know, this Samson, he was very strong. He should have not told the secret about his hair to Delilah, but he did it, and he shouldn't have done that, you shouldn't have done that, we shouldn't have done that. And that was the thing. I'm not going to talk about most of the thing about Delilah, but before he was meeting Delilah, what was the story? It's a little bit of long chapter. I wanted just to read about it. I was going to take a pinpoint, just, you know, few verses, but I didn't feel comfortable with it. Is it all right just to read the verse? I'm going to read it out. So the next one, it's in the Judges. Sorry, the letters are really small. I'm trying to squeeze it into less slides possible. So this is the birth of Samson. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man, Zorah, named Manoah, from the clan of Danites, had a wife who was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines." In the same chapter, the 24th verse, the woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him while he was in Mahanah, Dan, between Zorah and the Eshtal. So we all have most of us know, but we have a little bit of, we are going through the Trinity at the moment in life groups, the chapter, you know, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We might have a doubt, was the Holy Spirit existed in the Old Testament, but it does. The Holy Spirit is the God. He existed all the time. If you look at Genesis 1:1, we see Holy Spirit. And then this is another example, the Holy Spirit of Lord began to stir Samson. So what was happening? The God finding a family to look for a deliverer. So he has got a plan already. So I'm going to make a baby which he's going to deliver the Israel from the Philistines. So I'm going to make a plan. So he made a plan with the mom and dad, and this is what's going to happen, but he's going to be Nazarite. What is Nazarite? So in Old Testament time, it was saying in number 6, it was one of the law. If anybody making a vow to God, so that means, you know, like, I'm going to be called for service to God. I'm called out to do the God's work. That means I'm going to be separated from few things which are not allowed. So what is Nazarite? In number 6, verse 6 says, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites, and they said to them, if a man or woman wants to make a special vow, a vow of dedication to the Lord as a Nazarite, they must abstain from wine and another fermented drink, must not drink vinegar made from wine or other fermented drink. They must not drink grape juice or eat grapes or raisins. As long as they remain under the Nazarite vow, they must not eat anything that comes from grape wine, not even the seeds or skins. During the entire period of Nazarite vow, no razor may be used on their head. They must be holy until the period of their dedication to the Lord is over. They must let their hair grow long. Throughout the period of the dedication to the Lord, the Nazarite must not go near to dead body, even if their own father or mother or brothers dies. They must not make themselves ceremonially unclean on account of them, because the symbol of the dedication to God is on the head. Throughout the period of their dedication, they consecrated to the Lord. So this is a special instruction given to the people who are making a vow to God, or God choose some people to be a special people to make a covenant or make a vow to God. This is what you're going to be. This is what I am going to be. So basically, under the Old Testament, if the law or vow has been made, they have to follow it. If you don't do it, you're out of it. So this is a Nazarite vow. So God has given Samson, okay, you are going to be Nazarite. I have called you. These are all the things. You got to do it. Okay, the next one. So it's a continuity of what we were reading. So Samson became a big boy, and he was finding a lady for his wedding. So what was happening? So Samson went, Judges 14. Out of 14, Samson went down to one of the village, Timnah, and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. And as you know, Israelites are not allowed to marry outside of their religion. So, but his father and mother replied, isn't there any acceptable woman among your relatives or among your people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get wife? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She is the right one for me. His parents did not know that that was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines. For at that time, they were ruling over Israel. So this was given in bracket in NIV version. So that was the God's plan. Okay, let's take it. Because he's marrying Philistine woman. It could be because of God's plan. So that he is finding a reason to have a confrontation with Philistines that will make, you know, something will happen to drive them out of Israel. So that's what happening. Let's take it that way. But number 5 says, Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother, and they approached the vineyards of Timnah. Suddenly, a young lion came roaring toward him. Then, this is the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. So this time, even Samson didn't call God. Anything he was calling out for help. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, so that he tore the lion apart his bare hands, and he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Sometime later, when they went back to marry her, he turned aside and looked at the lion's carcass. So that's the dead body. And he saw a swarm of bees and some honey. He scooped up the honey with his hand, and yet he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some, and they do eat it. But they did not tell him that he had taken the honey from the lion's dead body. Now they went to see the woman, and they had a feast, and they've given a 30 men. So this is to say, you know, he has eaten from the dead body. As we read the previous slide, if you are a Nazarite, you're not allowed to go near the dead body. So even if he married another religion woman, could be because of God is telling him to do that thing, but eating from the lines, and it's what I'm trying to make it clear. So unfortunately, he is not following what you're supposed to do. So the next slide, continue. Sorry. Okay, the next one. Yeah, let me, so they have given a 30 people, as a, you know, when the people are getting married, the 30 people, 30 across, you know, along with the lady and their companions on the for the wedding. So they're doing some riddle, actually. It was showing all the riddle, you know, Samson, and said to them, you know, if you give me the answer what I was going to say, they had a chat with that lady, you know, as they said, the bride, if you don't tell them, I am going to make you, kill you, kind of thing. You know, that lady asked Samson what had happened, what was the answer for the riddle, and the answer was, finally, he didn't say first, but finally he gave the riddle, the answer to them. So they became very angry, and then, you know, the Samson became angry. If you read the 19th verse, that time the Spirit of the Lord powerfully upon him, he went down to Ascalon, struck down the 30 of their men, stripped them off everything, he gave their clothes. He made a vow between the 30 men. If you tell the answer, I'm going to give you the clothes for all of you. So he went down into the city, in the town, and killed another, the Philistines, and brought out just, 30 clothes to, and gave it to them. So this was happened here. So that time also, Spirit of the late Lord powerfully came upon him. Okay, it's going interestingly, is it?
Nice children's story.
Yeah, sorry. Don't go sleep, so it won't be long. Yeah. So the Samson's vengeance on the Philistines, so it is what happening. So this is, I can read, but I can give you the story, what was happening. So he went down and was hiding inside the rocks. So that Philistines came into the Judah and said, look, Samson, he's not a good lad. We need to kill him. We want him back. So what they said, Israelites said, okay, well, he's the problem. Let's do it with him. So it's not to be with us, we are innocent. So the Israelites went to him into the mountain and asked Samson, look, you're making so much trouble now. I'm going to surrender to them. Just, otherwise we don't have an option. Samson agreed. They tied his hand and taken him to the mountain area. So finally, when they reached there, so Samson said, swear to me that you won't kill me yourself. So, they're not going to kill me like yourself. So what happened, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and the ropes of his arms became charred flax, and the bindings dropped him to his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone for a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. The Samson said, with the donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. With the donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men. Praise the Lord. It is definitely due to the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. We just struck 1,000 men. He killed lots and lots of people with the power of God, and so he was just very, very gladly, he was saying, with the donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. With the donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men. Hence, the donkey's jawbone. So he was using something to kill other people. So he was using that to do the will of God. So the next minute, he did it, what God was calling him to do. Immediately after that, what was he doing? Samson and Delilah again. I'm sorry, Samson, but we got to learn from you, so bear with us. One day, Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Shorak, whose name was Delilah. So Delilah is not the beginning. So Delilah, we know everyone, Samson and Delilah, even the children know. But before that, there are so many issues been happening. So when I looked at it, I was looking, somebody I know whose life is similar. I found somebody's life was similar to what was happening. One minute, the Spirit of the Lord come upon me and do everything what God wants me to do. Bang, prophesying, you know, healing, whatever I want to do. I want a more powered God, wisdom, vision. I want to do a lot of stuff for people. The next minute, the inner thoughts. I couldn't forgive myself. I couldn't forgive the people. I couldn't get along with someone. I'm hating someone. I couldn't get along. Going up and down and up and down. It was nobody. It was me. So, even Samson was filled with the power of God coming upon him. The strength was coming upon him. The next minute, the body desires, the deeds of the body, the misdeeds of the body, unfortunately, not being addressed. So, shall we blame Samson then?
Totally.
Right. This is a poor graph. I have done it. So, excuse me, it's not really proper, but we can understand from that. So, this is a graph showing the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson on four occasions. On the Bible, it mentioned four occasions, yeah? So, the first time when he came upon them, strength. Second time, strength. Third time, strength. Fourth time, strength. So, do you know the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit doesn't only give strength. You know the Spirit of the God, we are living. We live our life by the Spirit. Through the Spirit we live because we believe Jesus who gave His Spirit. We are living everyday life by the Spirit. Healing, amazing. The peace, amazing. So the lack of fear and that, you know, love, everything is amazing. So in Samson's life, if you look at it, so if you look all the time, the strength of the God, Lord came upon him. Strength of the Lord came upon him. Strength, strength. So what are the fruit of spirit? We know from Galatians 5:2-2. It's love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. So if there is a question here. If Samson able to kill the lion, if Samson able to kill thousands of men by using the jawbone by the Spirit of the God, wouldn't the Spirit of the God would help him to control his temptation towards Delilah? Wouldn't he tempt, is the God poor enough to come into us and just to say, well, God, I am suffering now. I can't control the lust towards a woman, towards a man. I can't be able to get along with her. I don't like her. Can he help me to overcome that? Do we ask that? But in Christianity, I never asked. What I asked only God, vision, which is good, amazing. I want to grow in you. I want to have a vision. I want to hear from you. Absolutely, God. I want to do everything. Like, I want to prophesy. I want to speak to others' life. I want to do the same thing. But one body, one side of the body was swelling. The other side was weak. So if you want to be grow, if I eat good stuff, if I want to grow, I have to grow all over. If my one side is swelling, the other side is not swelling. It's unfortunately an illness. Yes. So I'm easily to say because I'm judging myself. I'm not judging anyone here. But what I'm sadly say, even if you, sometime, you know, Jesus said that the Pharisees, he doesn't like, you know, I don't know how to say, they don't like the attitude. They are growing religiously. Do that, do this, do that, do that, you know. You got to do the ceremonial law, blah, blah, everything. But that doesn't show them in their life. They're not self, you know, the life of them doesn't reflect what they are saying. That was the thing Jesus couldn't. Coming in the church, bang. When we go home, here. Sundays, so the four Sundays, sorry. It may be five Sundays some month. But the four resemblance of could be 4 weeks. It's normally 4 weeks, isn't it? So, but we are paid every 4 weeks. So take it a month. So first Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday, fourth Sunday. Strength, whatever you want from God. Yes, we are very choosy. We ask God, give me strength, peace, whatever I wanted. But don't worry about self-control. Don't worry about, you know, anything like I want to be kind and goodness and things like that. I do understand that. This is not a one-time process. It's not a straightforward. It takes ages. But what I am saying, the willingness to ask God is the key. Are we asking it? We might be asking God, fill us with the Spirit, fill us with the fruit of the Spirit. Are we asking the same equally as we are asking the other stuff. We got to grow. I got to grow. So the next thing is, there is one thing here. Okay, this is a lot. Are we in better position than Samson? Poor Samson, been told of many times, you didn't do it, kind of thing. So, even if you're living in this world, New Covenant, my life was like Samson's life. I'm not hoping, you know, we are living in that way, but there are possibilities. People know Jesus, have Holy Spirit, still living like Samson's. So the thing is, out of the donkey's jawbone, out of the spirit, instead of killing 1,000 men, shall we look into bringing over the fruit of life as well, equally. I'm sorry here, I'm not saying prophesying is wrong, filling the spirit, you know, that all so important. Equally, this is also important. I'm seeing a mature Christian come in and say, I can't get along with them. I'm sorry. That is not Jesus died for. Jesus died for you, give you peace. And he's going to restore us with Father. At the same time, he's going to make you like him. He was spat on his face. What was his body? He was showing, you know, if I were you, you know, I would just get up and say, you know, why are you spitting? What did I do? The deeds of the body was put down. So, Samson been told of by many times. Are we in the better position than Samson? So what was the difference? This is an example of what Jesus said. They were having a chat about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, you know, what are you, Jesus, you know, this guy, you know, he was coming before you. He was saying something about, you know, he is not worthy of your sandals and things like that. You know, what do you think about it? And he said, yeah, he's a good lad, yeah. I know John the Baptist, you know, he's been, you know, like he's been prophesied and, you know, he's a very nice guy. However, you know what he said? Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So are we greater than John the Baptist? Are we? Yes. If there is anything, if you feel it's no, I believe yes. Because we have. It's not coming. Holy Spirit in us. We are in better position than John the Baptist because, you know, the Holy Spirit came on David. Holy Spirit came on everyone, like in the Old Testament. For example, they had, you know, David said, you know, don't take the Holy Spirit away from me. Holy Spirit came upon him. They've done so many things, you know, killing the enemies, brought the country together and, you know, everything. But unfortunately, messed up with their life with, you know, somebody's wife, somebody else's wife. So there is a possibility if Holy Spirit, bang, 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 for certain task, we could just still go, our life, you know, our life could still go down, you know, in order to meet our body's desires. So we are in the new covenant. That means we are in the kingdom of God. We came after John the Baptist because we are in the kingdom of God now and we are better positioned than him because the God of the universe, the Trinity, the third person of the Trinity is living in us. He is able to give us strength. He is able to give us prophecy. He is able to give all the gifts of spirit. At the same time, he is able to give us self-control. He is able to give us ability to love. If he is able to give us, even if I am not able to forgive someone, he is able to give us the energy, the grace to forgive other people, even if we're able to give, he is able to give whatever the body's misdeeds can be sorted. That means, you know, he's able to kill that one. But why it's not happening automatically? Because we don't ask for it. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, I know, as I said, it's not a one-day process. I thought, okay, immediately I have that. Oh God, please give me, fill me with the love, joy, you know, forbearance, self-control. Well, It is amazing, you know, we are going through the journey. We are not alone. When we taken Jesus into life, the enemy got alerted. There's the red light, you know, coming like, you know, James Bond movie. Oh, something is a tank back there. In his own control, there's a red light clicked on. Okay, look at, you know, for example, Trevor's life. There's a red light here, man. Okay, let's go and attack him. Bang, bang, bang. And then, you know, this, that the flesh, it's a runway for Satan to land. Because when Satan is, the attitude is going to increase towards us, and then what we use over the deeds of the body to give him a place to, it's a safe landing here, man. Come and land here. That is what Jesus is saying. Oh, please, you know, this, you know, do not give importance to your misdeeds of your body. I think you need to come out of it, man. Just, you need to come out. That's what I'm going to give a spirit. That's my spirit going to live in you, not upon you. It's going to live in you. So we could do it. Jesus said, okay, it's going to come in. So the runway is going to be closed. There is no place to land. That's why Jesus said, you know, you don't find any place in me to land, man. That's what Jesus said. Do you remember that? The king of the world don't find anything in me. What was the verse? So you don't have anything in me to find. Yeah, yeah. So Jesus said, so that's why, that's what the position he wants us to in. If Satan comes to in me, there's nowhere he can go in. The runway is closed. But if the deeds, misdeeds of the body is there, everything, sexual immorality is one light for him to learn. Oh, there's another light. There's the space here. Let's land here. Unforgiveness. Oh, there's another light here. So, oh, God, this guy got so many lights, I can easily land easily. But if you switch off all the lights, where is man? There's no airport here. So that's why Jesus wanted to switch off our lights. But if you're putting on the lights, you know, there was a story, you know, that was when I used to work in the accident and emergency department, you know, there was a doctor. I've seen her, but, you know, she's amazing. You know, the way I saw her is, you know, normally the doctors, you know, they don't do big, dirty jobs. And they give it to, you know, sorry if there is anybody here, but just delegate to them. But she was amazing. She was not a very junior doctor. She's nearly registrar level. She was doing everything, like possibly love the patient and the humility. If somebody's telling her off, the manager, she said, smiles. And I was going to pray, God, please say she's a Christian. Then I found out she was a Christian. Oh, the joyness. Everybody, she was the light. Jesus said, we are going to be sitting in the top of the light, man. You're going to be a lighthouse. You are the salt of the earth. You don't put the lamp on the top, you know, under the table. You're going to be there on the top. Because I'm showing off. Look, my all lights switched off. The Spirit of God in me. I switched off my own lights. The Jesus light is glowing. Look at it. And then give thanks to God who oversees me. Why this guy is different? Sorry, I'm not against the spiritual gifts. Yes, we are practicing it here. But outside, unfortunately, at the workplace, if there is opportunity, yes, we can. But normally, we don't practice it. But they see you as a light when our body's light's been switched off. So what Jesus said about New Covenant, the Holy Spirit in us, there are lots of promises. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in Father and you are in me, I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keep them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by Father. I too will love them and show myself to them. So he's going to show himself to them, to us. The Spirit of the law, Spirit of the truth will come and live in us. That was an agreement. So there was a new covenant. God made seven covenants. Is it seven? God made a covenant with Adam and Eve. Right? You're going to bear children. Fruitfully multiply. He made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with Noah before then. Abraham, David, Moses. So the people were going up and down and up and down and up and down. All the Old Testament up and down, unfortunately. No, this is going to stop. I am landing now. I'm going to give you my spirit, who is an advocate. He's going to live in you. John 14:25. All this I have spoken while I still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you everything I have said to you. Matthew 5:6-7, Sermon on the Mount. It's getting constantly reminded. It is difficult to live a life, what Jesus said, Matthew 5:6-7. However, it's the Christian life is to accept through the Spirit, we are going to live the life what Jesus said in Matthew 5:6-7. So he's going to remind us all the time. John 15:7. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Holy Spirit, tell us what is wrong, what is right. He convicts us. So you're going there, you're going to touch it. Please don't go there. He tells us, and we need to listen that way. That time, sometimes we don't listen. And then we are going, we maybe end up in putting our lights on. John 15:13. But when the Spirit of truth come, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me and he will make known to you. Whatever is happening in heaven, we can be able to know. The Holy Spirit is the communicator. He is going to communicate from the above unto us. What an amazing privilege we are living in this world as a new covenant Christians. But in our lives, sometimes, you know, we go back to old covenant and saying, just to receive it and do that, enjoy whatever we want to do. We, unfortunately, it's not voluntarily, it's just we don't realize there are something underlying there which we can activate the Holy Spirit, ask help for. So we are being definitely in better position than Samson. So the Romans 8. Now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because we are living through Spirit. Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life set you free from the law and sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh. Samson was under the law, but unfortunately it was weakened by the flesh. It's difficult to control the flesh. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of the sinful flesh, to be a sin offering. So he condemned sin in the flesh in order that righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. Why do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit? Why can't we live it? Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. I am in the medical field. I can see two types. Somebody come to me and say, look, what happened to you? Major thing happened to you. Yes, it's okay. I'm comfortable, you know. I know what's happening and I've seen many people. The other type of people, they try to blame everything, each and everything, to find the fault, don't realize what's happening because they believe that's the end. Before I die, we probably come across this many verse. Before I die, I wanted to enjoy as much as I can. Whatever the world offers me, I'm going to do the most before I die. So take it as much as I can by using the flesh. That's what the world operates. That's what the people who believe in the flesh operates. Fortunately, we are called just completely opposite to that. It's completely different to that. I might not use my flesh. If there is a problem, if I can't get along with that, I'm hating this gentleman. I can't get along with that. Praise the Lord, God is giving us opportunity to go and tackle it. Difficult manager, it's easy to say. I just come across people. It's difficult to work with. Why it's not, nothing is moving. Praise the Lord, God has given you another opportunity to tackle the situation. You're not alone. I died for you, man. I got to give my spirit. You got it. Jesus died, like salvation come. Everything is sorted. You got to ask. God, I am dealing with, when I see him, I feel like I'm punching him on his face. God said, well done, man. I got a spirit in you, my spirit. Go and tackle it. We are not going to take a jawbone and fight with everything. We go and pray with the Spirit of God and just go and stay there. Did we ask? Do we ask? God, can you give me just the power, the strength, just need to give a life over the other? Yes, absolutely. At the same time, can you give me the power? Can you give me the power? Come into my life to control my flesh. We are not living according to flesh. That's all gone. Before the John the Baptist, before the old new covenant starts, we are in the better position. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of flesh cannot please God. This is a good question there. So if we say, if somebody acting according to flesh, can they please God? No, the verse says in Romans 8, we can't. But what's happening? Why God didn't take away the spirit from Samson? Sometimes we see people, we don't want to judge, you know, who were leading or things like that. But sometimes people say, you know, look at that amazing man, but you know, look at what he's doing. But in Romans 11:29 say, if God gives any gift, even if you go astray, even if you go out of him, he will not take it back. 11:29. He will not take it back. Who is the best example? The king of the earth. Not the king, the prince of the earth. Satan. He got gifts. Satan got power of wealth, got power of music. He was a beautiful man. Sorry, handsome, sorry. I don't know whether he was a man or a woman, but, you know. So, he was given a gift. But people, if people worship him, that will be given to him. That's it. They make a covenant with people under Satan. You guys know. And he has got gifts. God did not take it away from him. So the point is, if I am feeling the Spirit, if I am able to help others, if I am healing other people, there is still the possibility we might be backsliding. It doesn't mean that we are fulfilling the God's plan. That's the point. Is it clear? Because if I am praying for someone, if I am healing, if I am sharing my vision, whatever it is, God doesn't only like me. He likes the person who receives it. He has got the plan for him. I'm not saying it's not right. You know, God used many people to prophesy. Even the donkey did. It's not like, I'm not just saying this is an amazing gift. But what I'm saying, God uses the opportunity if he loves people. So if I am doing that stuff, doesn't mean that I am going straight. Same time, that means if I am doing that at the same time, I'm giving an importance to the other side of the life. My personal life. Coming to the church and I'm actively involving, doesn't matter. At the same time, how is my personal life? Am I putting deeds of the body to death? No, I can't. Look, it's difficult. Oh, bless you, man. It's difficult. Sorry. You got a spirit in you. You don't need to do it. He will do it for you. You got to say yes. However, or not in the realm of flesh, but are in the realm of the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does have not the spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, this is amazing. If the spirit of God who raised Jesus from dead, living in us. He who raised Christ from dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because his spirit who lives in you, because of his spirit, definitely. If the spirit of God who raised Christ living in us, of course, he can able to help me to make myself control. Well, I can't say I can't get along with this person. Look, you know, whenever I see them, you know, I can't get along. I'm getting tempted when I see this woman. Yes, we will get tempted. But we ask, God, switch on that mode. You know, God, you know, I'm getting tempted. Can you help me? Yes, of course. You ask me. Bang. Why are we not asking that part of sight? We are just concentrating this part of sight. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. Sorry, it is not like automatic process. So Paul is writing, it is unfortunately a compulsion. We have to do it. We have to means, you know, we are not physically have to do it. We have to allow. Yes, Spirit of God, God is amazing. He won't do us without our permission. We got to say, yes, God. Yes, Holy Spirit. Come on me. I can't get along with this woman. I can't get along with this man. I'm hating this woman. I can't just, you know, this, you know, the thoughts coming into me. Come and help me. Yes. Brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. That's our job. Some of the thing in Christianity is not automatic. God will fill you. So we will need to obey and we will need to take it and we will need to activate on our life. Sometimes we have to ask for it. We have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, we will die. But if you by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Amazing. It's not saying you got to scrunch your teeth and you have to control yourself, go for the rehab program and, you know, attend that program and then you got to do it. I understand it's difficult. It is difficult. It is painful because the flesh is with us since we're born. We can't give it out easily. But the Spirit of God will do it and the glory goes to Him. Then only people couldn't believe me when I see my friends, you know, I can't believe you are like this. I'm not saying, but, you know, comparing to what happened before I accepted Jesus, it is different, a little bit different. But still they couldn't believe it because, you know, glory goes to God. So we put, that's our job. Right, live life by the Spirit, what Galatians says. So I seek walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify your desires of the flesh. So don't do it. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. So the thing is, you know, we are coming and, you know, we are prophesying on other people's life. You got a spiritual gift. But if you're looking at the personal life, I can't control it, God. So one side of the body is swelling. So one side is not. So it's both sides. So if you gratify the desires of the flesh, it is difficult. Flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, but it is against the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh, is opposite. They are in conflict with each other. They conflict all the time. So that you are not to whatever you want. If I want to do something, I can't do it. You know that this is a society. If, unfortunately, if I like somebody else's wife, I can't do it. Because it's normally, even outside of the church, it is not right. But as a Christian, I am 100%. Amazing person, you know, the purified person than them, because it's not me boasting. Christ living in me. The Spirit has given and living in us. So we don't look at them. That's why Jesus said, don't look at them. Don't look and think about it. You've already committed adultery. So we are in that position. How can I do it, God? I'm just going there and seeing other people and it's difficult, it's tempting. Yes, that's what I've given my Spirit. The acts of the flesh or obvious, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. You know, these are the things. It's not a one day stuff. Like we said, you know, before, you know, if we address that, if we say, Holy Spirit, these are the issue I have personally in my life. Thank you for your Spirit. You live in me. Let you sort that out. I'm giving everything what in my misdeeds of my body on the altar. Fire. Come upon it. Let me make me like you. So, but the fruit of the Spirit, make me like what you like. With love, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep a step with the Spirit. Spirit is there constantly telling us, I think you've got to sort that area in your heart. This area is not opened up for me. Because if we've got so many areas in our heart, what we, you know, for example, you know, like, what were my interest, my ambition, or, you know, what you do at free time, everything, is everything open to me? So Holy Spirit is going to show us, oh, this is not open, this is not open. So we go with the Holy Spirit, step by step. Yes, this is not open. This is not open. Let it open. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So this is a letter written by Paul to Galatians. So guys, you know, this is, I understand what you're doing, a good job, but you know, just to look at that, that needs to be done as well. Not the least. So now we come to a group. Jesus mentioned about a group of people. We need to look at it just for a minute. So he was talking about these people in Matthew 7, and he made a distinction between true and false prophets and true and false disciples. So we know who are the true people, you know, but that's why we are here, and we've gone through lots of teachings, and, you know, the discipleship is going on and everything. So who are these false prophets? Why do we need to know? We don't need to know, but just to make sure we don't want to go there. That's the reason. Matthew 7, 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will cut down and thrown into fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. It's been constant challenge. Many people will come, you know, I know Jesus, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this. But because I love Brian when he say, he apologized. Sorry, being a Christian, sometimes we have not shown how Christ looks like in us. It is true. If I say, why, you know, I can't show, because in my experience, I have studied in one of the good Christian university. That was the first time I was a Hindu, and I came from Hindu family, and then when I looked at it, everybody went into the church first time, people are opening their mouth loud and sing. In Hindu God, you don't sing. Only the priest sings. So when I came there, everybody sings and it looks amazing for me. Oh, I loved, oh, this is a God. But when I looked at, I shouldn't have done, but looked at them, the ambition and the selfishness and the way they behave, it put me off. It put me off, really. Why? Because I understand that. But people, you are highly monitored. How do you speak or what's your life choices? Do they, you know, workplaces, they know you are different or you're not different. You don't need to tell them, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I do pray and fast, we do this type of thing, you know, we do this type of thing, very good stuff. You don't need to tell them. They know you. You are highly being monitored. So Jesus said, you know, somebody says, you know, Jesus, 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 but just look at their life. This is what important. This is what I'm worried about. You know, you come to me, yes, I give you spirit. If my child comes and asks, I'll give you spirit. Doesn't mean that you are a true prophet. Doesn't mean that you are a true disciple. Disciple, true means you got to bear fruit. You don't need to bear fruit in one go. As soon as you put the apple tree, it won't grow immediately. It takes time, but I am the true vine. He said, you know, just a link. You are the branches. You link your branch with me. So I link you with Father. The Holy Spirit is a connector. We will keep on telling you what to do. Walk a step in us, with us. And we will bear fruit. And out of the fruit, we are going to be like a lighthouse. We will be on the top of the mountain. Because this is going to put us on the top of the mountain. Everybody will see. Look, this guy, He was spat on his face. He was teased by his work colleagues, but he's smiling. He's forgiving easily. Why? How? It's not me, my spirit. Enabling me to do it. So there are a group, if the false prophets could be, not all of them, probably I don't know how to say, but could be swollen one side without realizing it. Who are true and false disciples? Not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, will you enter the kingdom of heaven? But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me that on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name. They were prophesying in his name. In your name, drive out demons. And in your name, perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly. He's going to tell them not with the, parables. He's going to tell them clearly because, you know, they need to understand. What he's going to tell them, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. They prophesied in Jesus' name. They come into church in Jesus' name. They were doing everything in Jesus' name. But Jesus said to them, I never knew you. Very difficult. Very scary. Life situation. So, now, does a donkey bone jawbone makes any sense? With the donkey's bone, I made donkeys of them. With the donkey's jawbone, killed thousands of men. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy you in your name? And your name, did we not drive out demons? In your name, did we not perform any miracles? Then he will say to them, I never knew you. So that was the position I was in. Didn't realize Christianity. I felt it was just going to the church, filling in with the Holy Spirit. I felt Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Amazing. Very happy. I was shocked. The creator of the universe is contacting me. He's touching me, giving me a peace. As soon as I prayed, I got peace in my heart. Amazing. Is that the one side? So what's the other side? I didn't know. Cleaning up. That's the fruit. I need to attach. I attach with Jesus. He is the true wine. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the wonderful time. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for our friends and family here, Father God. We ask in the name of Jesus, let the Spirit come in living in us and show us the misdeeds of our body. What are the things you want us to put on the altar? We are ready to do it, God. We want to grow with the spiritual gift. Equally, we want to grow putting our misdeeds off of our flesh into death. Father God, we want to be not in the gray area where the false prophets and false disciples say. We want to be true disciples. We committed. We are spending the Sunday morning. It's not just to be wasted. We want to follow you fully. We want to follow your will. We want to do what you want us to do, God. We want to be a lighthouse. We want to be going and sitting on the top of the mountain, not to glorify ourselves. Glorify you. You have given us a spirit which can do many things that people in the world cannot do. We want to live the life that people can see and admire you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you.